This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The European Union this morning released its calculation of what Apple owes Ireland in back taxes, and it's a number that is deep in the billions. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The EU today said Apple of Cupertino, California, needs to pay the Irish government $14.5 billion in back taxes, taxes it says should have been paid but weren't because of an inappropriate special tax arrangement with Ireland. Apple just said it will appeal. But joining us from Dublin on this breaking story is reporter Dermot Fleming. Morning to you.
Good morning, David.
So, wow, the EU calculates that maybe Apple owes about 13 billion euros, $14.5 billion to Ireland. You'd think that our friends in Ireland would be very excited about trying to collect.
Quite the opposite. The government are furious over this, primarily because they completely disagree or deny that they had any sweet deal with Apple whatsoever. Now, it's accepted that Apple paid very little tax on some of its operations in Ireland, but this was all perfectly legal in that they were able to locate some of their businesses for tax reasons abroad and locate some of them in Ireland for the most tax-efficient outcome, which the European Commission says an Apple operation ended up paying only 0.005%.
Are there any voices in Ireland eyeing that $14.5 billion that might be collected and say, yeah, we could use that?
Yes, on the left of the political spectrum here, there's a view that multinational and foreign companies are taxed much too lightly and that this money could be used to alleviate the difficulties the country still experiences from the crash and the bailouts in 2008 and 2010. There's a major housing crisis here at the moment. People on the left are saying this money could go towards that.
But Ireland shouldn't start counting this money and expecting this money to pour into its coffers anytime soon.
There will be an appeal by the Irish government and also by Apple against this ruling by the European Commission. And even if any money was to flow from Apple towards a settlement, it has to go into an account which can't be touched by Ireland until the appeals run their course. And even then, if the money comes back to Ireland, it can only be used to pay off our national debt. It can't be used on capital spending. But obviously, 13 billion euro, $14.5 billion will go somewhere to help pay off Ireland's still substantial national debt.
Dermot, it would have to be used to reduce debt and couldn't be used to build a highway or a bridge?
That would be the rules under the European Commission's regulations. Now, obviously, if the government is paying off national debt and it doesn't have to pay off as much national debt because it has this 13 billion euros, then it can use money from somewhere else to spend on things like bridges and hospitals and schools and the like. But I think we are some way off that yet because of the appeals.
Dermot Fleming also files for the BBC. He's based in Dublin. Dermot, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
Apple's stock is down 1.8% in pre-market trading, $104.90 each. Let's do some other numbers. After a day off for a late summer holiday yesterday, the 100-share index in London is up slightly, 4 points now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed, with the Dow future down 8 points. In the United States, non-union workers who feel a sense of ain't my problem or even schadenfreude when they hear about the decline of union power in America may be interested in some new data today. It's from the Economic Policy Institute about how non-union workers may also lose out when unions lose their influence. Gigi Duban reports.
Since the late 1970s, unionization has declined, particularly among men in the private sector who don't have a college degree. Jake Rosenfeld, who teaches sociology at Washington University, co-authored this study.
Strong unions mean higher wages for union members and non-members alike.
Rosenfeld compared non-union wage growth since 1979. He says union decline has had a staggering effect on non-union workers.
We're talking about over $100 billion a year in lost wages.
Adjusted for inflation, the median pay for those men without a college degree, it's about 13% lower. One reason? What Aaron Dubay calls the threat effect. He's a visiting professor of economics at Boston University. And he says when there are a lot of unions,
even non-union employers may raise wages to prevent unionization.
At the same time, Dubay says unions can drive wages down when higher pay leads companies to cut jobs. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
If you just dumped or are dumping your offspring at college this week, here's an interesting datum. More than two-thirds of college students say they have cheated on an assignment, and a growing industry has cropped up to help the cheating. From the Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
The Chronicle of Higher Education spent months investigating what it calls the new cheating economy. Chronicle reporter Brad Wolverton says students aren't just buying term papers or one-off assignments. With the rise of online courses,
you can pay someone and then they can sign in using your identity and take the whole class for you.
Wolverton found at least a dozen companies offering such services, with names like Take Your Class or NoNeedToStudy.com, all for as little as $600. Some even guarantee at least a B.
It's part of the commodification of education.
Teresa Fishman directs the International Center for Academic Integrity at Clemson University.
Students and the people who are selling these services have the idea that all that really matters is the end, and that the processes that get you there aren't really significant.
To fight cheating, she says colleges need to do a better job of teaching the value and relevance of learning. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And there's news today that Mondelez International, the food giant behind Oreos, Chips Ahoy, and other major brands, will drop its pursuit of Hershey. The Wall Street Journal reports that Hershey of Pennsylvania walked away from the latest acquisition offer from Mondelez of Deerfield, Illinois, which was hived off from Kraft, would have valued the company at $25 billion. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.